each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hello and welcome to The Winds of Change. David Carollo is sitting in today for Father Anthony. It's noontime, so let's start with the Angelus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary,
and she conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord.
Be it done unto me according to thy word.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh,
and dwelt among us.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God,
that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ.
Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was brought by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
So welcome again to the Winds of Change on this summer afternoon. I'm happy to be here during this crazy time. We turn on the news and you have, I could talk about the news for an hour here and not get into the things that are a little more important. So I think we all do what we pray for better times. Of course, I am the executive director of the World Apostate of Fatima, Our Lady's Blue Army, in primarily in New Jersey. And I am very happy to be here today sitting in for Father Anthony. We are, again, as I say, in very interesting times, but you know what? This is the history of the church. It's the history of our world. And today's a special feast, really. It has been, for me, a place I've visited many times. This is the dedication of the St. Mary Major Basilica in Rome. And I think it's a very important place because it was actually one of the first, the story of Our Lady of the Snows. I think many know that story, where the patrician Giovanni and his wife were childless, and they prayed to the Blessed Mother that she would designate an heir for them to bequeath their wealth. Really, they had a vision in which the Blessed Mother told them that she wished to have a church built in her honor on the Esquiline Hill, and to sign to verify this dream, the prospective layout of the church would be outlined in snow. Keeping in mind, this was July, and July is hot in Chicago and throughout the U.S., but is extremely hot in Rome in the summertime in July, or excuse me, in August. When Giovanni approached his friend, Pope Liberius, with the news, he was amazed to find out that on the night of August 4th, 352, the Virgin Mary had appeared to Pope Liberius as well. She said a miraculous snowfall would occur and would outline where the church was to be built in her honor. The next day, on August 5th, the snow indeed did fall on the Esquiline Hill in Rome in the middle of a heat wave. For the people staked off the outline of the future basilica before the snow could melt. Pope Liberius immediately ordered the basilica to be built. The event provided us with one of Our Lady's oldest titles, Our Lady of the Snows. So about, you know, and it's a beautiful basilica. Those of you who've been to Rome, it's one of the four major basilicas of Rome, of course. It's some tremendous artwork, tremendous artifacts. The most important artifact in there is a relic of the manger from Bethlehem. It's a very, very special. When you go into the front, you look down underneath the main altar and you see that relic. So it's so very beautiful. That was brought, so many things were brought back by St. Helena during the during her expeditions after, when Emperor Constantine, her son, legalized Christianity. So really a beautiful time. I highly recommend a visit to there. Today also is First Friday. And of course, First Friday is very special to all of us. First Friday and First Saturday, as I said, I am the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, Our Lady's Blue Army. And Fatima is very much tied to the devotions of the First Friday and the First Saturday. And I know at the Blue Army Shrine, at our Shrine in New Jersey, we hold, and tonight we'll be holding our all-night vigil from 9 p.m. to usher out First Friday until 6 a.m. on Saturday to usher in First Saturday. And it truly is, these two devotions go together. The heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary are inseparable, and it's special. So so we do hold these vigils here and many places. And here in Chicago, it's held. The First Friday and First Saturday devotions are truly held throughout, not just with our apostolate, but throughout the archdiocese, and it's very important. I mean, these are the promises that go with the First Fridays and the First Saturday devotion are amazing, but promises are that we have to give to God for God to give to us. So I have a very special guest here with me today who's going to talk a little bit about this. Brother Pius Gagné is a member of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. The Franciscan Friars, Brother Pius and Father Luke Fletcher, serve as our chaplains at the Blue Army Shrine in New Jersey. And Brother Pius, great to have you on the show today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. I love the month of August, not only because I was born in August, but it holds for me a lot of great memories of summer times. But as I've grown in my Catholic faith, and especially as religious, we kind of have the privilege of entering more deeply into the liturgical life of the church. And there are just so many beautiful feast days in this month, particularly the Assumption of Our Lady and the Queenship of Our Lady, which are just so special. And for the longest time, I was kind of bummed out. I was born on August 17th, and I thought, well, there's no real major saint on the calendar. There was this minor Franciscan saint who was a mystic, which is, encouraging and wonderful. But only within the last few years did I discover that August 17th is the Feast of Our Lady of Knock. So I actually have the privilege of being born on a Marian feast day without even knowing it. But I do love this month, and I'm really happy to be here to talk about these devotions of the First Friday and the First Saturday, which are really so essential for our spiritual life. And then also, I would say, to have an outward directed spirituality, right? So that we are not only coming to receive treasures for ourselves, but that we're also in a way and in a posture where we're outward directed, where we're praying for the world, where we're praying in reparation for those who don't know better perhaps, and who are offending the heart of our Lord and our Lady. And so we really have a privileged place because of our sort of knowledge and living of our faith to grow in an outward directed spirituality.
Yeah, and that's an outward directed spirituality. That's a beautiful thing because obviously, but the light hidden under, you don't hide the lamp. Okay, I mean, we have to be out there. We have to be the light to the world, and we want to bring people to understand these devotions. You know, when Our Lady came to Fatima, she wanted us to embrace certain devotions, not for the sake of the devotions, but she wanted us to do this for, obviously to attain our holiness, for us to become holy. That's what this is all about. That's why when you are fulfilling the First Fridays and the First Saturdays, and they do come together, not every month. There are months where the first falls on a Saturday, and that doesn't click with the two, but it is still the First Friday and the First Saturday. And I think that there is still the tie between our Lord and our Lady, because that is where she brings us to Him. The Fatima message is to bring people to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, primarily. I mean, the Eucharist, that's what it's all about. And I think in both cases, to fulfill the requirements of, and the beautiful promises that are made. Promises are wonderful, and we should be encouraged by them. But the reality is, these promises are there to know and to put it, give us some solace. But the reality is we are giving to God, you know, and on, you know, in First Fridays, we ask to receive Holy Communion on each of the First Fridays. And the 9 First Fridays must be consecutive, and they must be made in honor of and in reparation to His Sacred Heart. And reparation, I think, is the key to the whole thing. Now you go on to the First Saturdays. What are you doing? You're making, again, reparation. You know, our Lord asked for the First Saturdays directly to Sister Lucia, you know, for blasphemies, to make reparation, again, you know, for blasphemies against the Immaculate Conception, or all these blasphemies against Our Lady, blasphemies against her virginity, blasphemies against her divine maternity. Blasphemies against, the next one really does always bother me, and that is instilling indifference and scorn or hatred towards Our Lady in the hearts of children. That is brutal. That is terrible when you think about it. And of course, direct insults against her sacred images. And all you're what you're asked to do on the first Saturday is to go to confession, receive Holy Communion, say 5 decades of the Rosary. And I love the next part. And then keep Our Lady company for 15 minutes while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary. Not just meditating, but keeping her company in her heart as to what she experienced during these things. And have the intention of making reparation to Our Lady for the offenses listed that we talked about. And I think that really is so very important. And I think, Brother Pius, you know, we do this at the Blue Army Shrine and, of course, done many other places. But I really think we've the First Saturday's devotion primarily, of course, First Fridays also. But the First Saturday's devotion is the unfulfilled part of the Fatima requests, right? And I think that that's where, and in light of this beautiful consecration that occurred on March 25th, very happy. I mean, the Holy Father consecrated Russia, Ukraine, and the world. And so many bishops, priests, and laity joined in on that day. I believe that great things are coming from it. But all that is grace that God allows to fall. He sends it down upon us. Now we've got to do it. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that, you know, I think this is an incentive for us to be fulfilling the First Saturday's devotion. I really believe that that is the key. And that's why the First Friday is the lead-in. You know, you're honoring God, but you honor Him even more in many ways by honoring His mother.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, if... I think about, when I hear great things about people whom I care about very deeply. So my sister, she was a very successful track athlete in college. And for me, it gave me such joy when she was honored by ESPN and she was in the Hall of Fame for her university and being at that induction. Like all of those things gave me great joy. It almost felt better to see her be successful in something she did so well than it would be if people were honoring me. You know, you sort of get that feeling like, I mean, yes, it's nice to be honored, but in some way there's almost like a subtle sort of shame, like an embarrassment to be in the spotlight. But to see someone we love in the spotlight is just so wonderful. And I think that that's really what we're doing with the 5 First Saturdays.
Well, I think that's interesting you say that because the First Saturdays being part of the Fatima devotions are about our devotion to people. Okay, I mean, to Our Lady, to God, but for the sake of others. It's not just for us. Okay, so we tell people, do the 5 First Saturdays. You do those for the obligation. Make that up for yourself, but continue. Don't say, I'm doing the 5 First Saturdays. Say, I'm doing the First Saturday's devotion, and you continue on, and you pray for your loved ones, okay? Mm-hmm. Your spouse, your siblings, your parents, your children, and then comes the fun part, your friends. Then comes the fun part. Pray for those you don't like, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, are you willing to offer 5 First Saturdays for someone who just absolutely hates you, maybe? Okay, are you willing to do that? That is becoming Christ-like. You know, when he again, from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, He forgave His executioners, but He was forgiving us primarily for putting Him there.
Yeah,
you know? We were His executioners by our sins. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, and He loved us to the point where He forgave everything. You know, can we do less? And that's what I think when we exhibit that behavior when we do practice these kind of devotions, but for the sake of others. You know, that's the Fatima message. The Fatima message is about, you know, reparation for sin. and it's for making reparation for the conversion of sinners. So you're not doing it as much for yourself, you're doing it for everybody. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to follow up more on this. We have to take a break right now, but when we come back, I would like to talk a little more about this and the kind of devotions we're doing and a little more about the friars and the work you do it in union with us. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on EWTN Catholic Radio, Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM, WSFI.
Can you help St. Stanislaus Kostka Church? The church was constructed over 150 years ago, and despite its age, has maintained its sacred and timeless beauty. There is a realization that our shared spaces need to be upgraded with items such as a wheelchair lift for the lower church, new men and women's bathrooms, and the creation of space for meetings and hospitality, as well as more accessible wheelchair access. Visit ststandschurch.org, ststandschurch.org, for complete details on the renovation and what you can do to help.
I'm David Carollo, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony. And I have with me Brother Pius Gagne of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. Brother Pius and Father Luke Fletcher serve as the chaplains at the Blue Army Shrine in New Jersey. And Brother Pius, when we left before the break, we were speaking about the First Fridays, the First Saturdays, and the whole idea of praying for the conversion of sinners, helping others through our, that's the Fatima message, you know. And that is very much the message of the Franciscan Friars. You know, it is, it's where we are founding, of course, you minister primarily to the material poor, okay? Well, we have a lot of spiritual poor that come through here, too.
So. Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's fascinating. Father Luke and I, as we sort of embarked on this, what is kind of an experiment for our community. We haven't done shrine ministry before, really, in any serious way. Father Luke found a document on shrine ministry. And in looking through that with him, we really were surprised to see a real focus on spiritual poverty and how these shrines are sort of like a visible physical locus, a place where grace is particularly concentrated, you know, and as Friars of the Renewal, our work, we're the Friars of the Renewal because St. Francis received that call from the crucifix in San Damiano to rebuild the church. And, you know, St. Francis being a bit of a literalist, he's sort of in the same school as St. Peter, probably. He just started rebuilding churches physically with his hands until the Lord showed him that his renewal was meant to be wider. But what's fascinating about the way St. Francis went about renewing the church is that he went about renewing himself first. He worked to grow closer to Christ. There are prayers of his, which are some of my favorite prayers. His earliest prayer is this prayer before the crucifix, where he basically begs the Lord to give him light to know what he's supposed to do. And then later on, in what's called the Regula Non Bullata, so he wrote a rule that didn't receive papal approval, and then a canon lawyer came in and helped St. Francis sort of trim it down. And in that rule, he says, help us, Lord, to do what we know you want us to do. So he moves from this place of not knowing what to do, of sort of a darkness and begging for light. And then once he receives the light, once he knows what he's supposed to do, he then goes forth to do it. And I see such a harmony here, really with the message of Fatima, right? The devotion of the first Friday and the devotion of the first Saturday, it's always struck me why Our Lady uses these sacramentals and these sort of like kind of extended commitments, right? Like five first Saturdays, it's a significant commitment. You have to remember to do it. 9 first Fridays. It's a lot of first Fridays to spend with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. But as I've prayed about it, I'm more and more convinced that our Lord and our Lady want to use these times of encounter, particularly that moment of sitting silently with Mary, sort of holding her hand and letting her lead you into the mysteries of her and our Lord's life, it really becomes transformative for us. We change. If you go to Mass for 9 first Fridays and go to Mass for 9 first Saturdays, or go into confession, or go into communion consistently, that makes a change in you. The Blessed Sacrament changes you. The Rosary changes you. And so while we have this other directed focus of praying for others, as you mentioned so well, Dave, we also are being changed subtly by Our Lady. We're learning what their hearts delight in and how to be more conformed to those hearts.
Well, transformation is obviously, it's the Fatima message. It's the Catholic message. It's transforming us. It's moving towards salvation. We're called to holiness. We're far from it. Okay, but we are called to holiness. Will we attain it on this earth? Well, maybe some do. I think most don't. That's why there is purgatory. That's why there's the preparation point, after death even. But the reality is we have to be moving constantly towards that. And I think we perfect ourselves the more we help others. Mm-hmm. Okay, the more we help bring others to salvation, the more we pray for sinners. You hear stories about people, family members, whatever, living lives that are very dissolute, okay? And not pointing out that, look, I mean, I have many things in my life that I need to make up for too. But I'm saying, when you see that in your family or when you're in your friends or acquaintances or even strangers, you know, it's not to condemn, it's to help them find their way back. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what it is. You look at the news today and you look at how our society has become so twisted. Mm. Absolutely twisted. I mean, there is the things that are, I don't have to get into the specific things. We know what they are. But look at the things that have been normalized in our society that would never have been thought of in the past. I mean, 20 years ago, to think that some of these things would have been, even possible, even normalized, it's just not there. You would never have. I mean, I'm old enough to know that. even though these things existed. But now when they become part of the mainstream of society, we have a problem, okay? Mm-hmm. Because we do not reflect God. And I think, our work and the work of, like the first Fridays, like the first Saturdays, you're bringing people in, as you pointed out, by the reception of communion every day, or at least periodically as much as you can, daily if possible, and you're asking God to make you something new,
mm-hmm.
All right? And I think we, we have to understand that we're on a pilgrim journey.
Mm-hmm.
That pilgrim journey is then at the end, you want to be ready. Okay, welcome in. Now you've succeeded. You followed the path. You have helped others. You have, and I think that we are, again, as an apostolate, we're focused more on the spiritual poverty of people as not as much on the physical, although they do go hand in hand.
They do. Absolutely.
And I think you will, people come to respect you when they see that you have the charity. They want to be like you.
Yeah.
It's part of what is inside us as human beings.
Absolutely. And I think it sort of goes back to the Second Vatican Council in Gaudium et Spes, and then regularly repeated by St. John Paul II, was this idea that Jesus Christ fully reveals man to himself, fully reveals the human person to themselves. And the way we come to discover ourselves, and I think we are in an era where young people particularly, but in general, the whole of society is facing a massive identity crisis. And I'm not just talking about gender identity and those sorts of very sort of hot button issues. But really, young people in general are struggling to commit themselves to things because they don't really know who they are. And so there's this, you know, the acronym FOMO, fear of missing out, right? And some of that stuff is rooted in what Gaudium et Spes says, which is that we only find ourselves through a sincere giving of ourselves. And that gift of self can be made even if you're homebound, right? Mother Teresa has a whole army of people in her community who she calls the suffering members of the Missionaries of Charity. They're cooperators who are offering their suffering. So even if you can't get out and get your hands dirty, helping out at a soup kitchen or a homeless shelter, you can give. And these spiritual fruits are much more efficacious than any meal I've ever served in the South Bronx. So I think that the key to the discovery of identity is to give of ourselves. And the first Friday and first Saturdays, we're not only giving to our Lord and our Lady, but as you say, David, we are giving spiritual, it's a spiritual work of mercy to pray for the conversion of others. And if we're living that sort of, again, outward-directed spirituality where we're giving, eventually we come to discover who we are in Christ.
You know, you mentioned Gaudium et Spes, which is the encyclical by Pope Paul VI during the Vatican Council. And there was one line in there that I recall, it goes like this. Man was created for a blissful purpose beyond the realm of human misery.
Amen.
And I think that really is a beautiful line because, you know, basically we're not here for what's here going on now, okay? We may have nice cars and nice homes. We might have a happy family. We might have sadness. It's all mixed. But whatever we have, this is not our end. This is our, you know, this is where we're at now on the road to something much, much better.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, that's why when I see, we talk about, we're in such a disposable society today, and things like the gender identity, like everything, you know, people say, well, I guess it's time for me to, you know, I'm a boy to be a girl, to be a girl, to be a boy. Well, you know, no, that's not there. And I think that's part of this throwaway society that we are. And to me, it ties very much into, you know, the failures of marriages and vocations and everything else is people don't look at things as a lifetime, you know, mm-hmm. how they're going to be mm-hmm. for their life. And I think even, you know, the gender identity thing, I think, is a very good example of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's you're stating, well, I think something different. Now it's time for me to try something different. Well, mm-hmm. you don't try certain things different. You know? And of course, unfortunately, that can have long-term and irreversible effects. That's what's so sad about it, because people who are too young, in many cases, to even know what they're doing, are making these drastic decisions. And but I just think overall, it's because are we maybe not meriting enough grace in this world for people like that to look beyond?
Right, and I think, too, that one of the gifts of Pope Francis's pontificate has been his emphasis on mercy. And I think no matter where we are, you know, if a person is struggling with their gender identity, if they're dealing with attractions or whatever is going on in a person's life, that exists in a context. And it's within that context that the grace of God wants to meet them. There are no throwaway people. And there's no one beyond the reach of the mercy of God. And I think that's so important to point out, not to condone sin, not to condone things that are harmful, and possibly irrevocably harmful to the physical body and wellness of a person. However, I think it's just so important, instead of getting up on our soapbox, you know, we have the gift of the truth, the gift of the fullness of the truth in the Catholic Church. John Paul II again says the way of the church is the way of man. And it is, you know, the church is expert in humanity. And so we have this sort of expert status in humanity, but it ought not be a cudgel. It ought to be a gift that we can share with others. And so, to come from a place of love and of mercy, and to have, yes, the truth, but to speak the truth in love and to be looking for transformation in the hearts of others.
Yeah, exactly. We have to look at people. You know, we have to, and I think, what did Moses say to the people of Israel? The last thing he said before they crossed over, you know, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and with all your might. And Christ added to that, and love your neighbor as yourself for the love of me. And that's exactly it. If you don't love your neighbor, then you don't love God. You know, but you love God only as much as you love the person that you love the least. I mean, that's true. That's been said by many. So, and that's very true. And we have to take another break, and we'll expand on that idea when we come back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on EWTN Catholic Radio, Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and 88.5 FM WSFI.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
We are the students of St. Stan's La Cosca Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony, and I have my guest, Brother Pius Gagne, who is a member of the staff at the Blue Army Shrine in New Jersey. He and Father Luke Fletcher, they're carrying a banner for the apostolate there, and of course we have many beautiful, beautiful events that go on there. BlueArmy.com is our website for many, many, the different kind of resources related to the message of Fatima, the Catholic faith overall. And I think, if it's a beautiful place, if you can visit sometime, we're located in western New Jersey, just 50 miles west of New York, not far from the Pennsylvania border in the Lake region of New Jersey. And that's why they call it the Garden State. It's where we're at over here, out there. So it's a beautiful place, and we ask you. But if you can't, we have beautiful events, and they're all available on our streaming. Some are picked up by the network, and most are all of them, of course, are covered on our website. Our daily mass, which is at 12 noon Eastern time. And you hear some beautiful homilies if you tune into those. On the 13th of the month, we have our Fatima celebrations. August 13th, we're going to be welcoming His Excellency Bishop Coffey from the military services. I think it would be a great day. He's a great homilist and a great friend of our apostolate and the work we do. I look forward to having him there and throughout the year. But look at our website, BlueArmy.com, to give you all of the times and things going on there at the shrine, I should say. Again, Brother Pius is here with me, and Brother Pius, we're talking about the symmetry between the mission of your order, the Fatima message, and just in general, talk a little bit about the friars, where you're located. I mean, you're very many places now. And of course, one of the new auxiliary bishops, Bishop Lombardo in Chicago here. Came from your order. He was a member of the Franciscan friar, still is, I guess, to whatever degree that happens once you become a bishop. But it's great. And he does great work. on the west side of Chicago. Give them a lot of credit for the soup kitchen. I know Dorothy and I, my wife, we've been kind of involved in the work they did out there for a while, and very happy to see that that's succeeding. So anyway, talk a little bit about what the order has been doing, and what is the, you know, the outreach where you've been.
Sure. So I've primarily lived in the New York area. I've been a friar for 17 years, just recently celebrating 11 years in perpetual vows, which is a tremendous gift of grace for me. So our community was founded really to be more intentionally involved in hands-on work with the materially poor and to evangelize. And to be able to do that more effectively, our community does not do parochial ministry. So we don't have any parishes that we run. And what that does is that frees us up then to be able to serve the poor on a daily basis. For years, I worked at our homeless shelter in the South Bronx. We house about 35 men a night who come in who wouldn't otherwise have a place to stay. We have soup kitchens throughout the New York area. We have a youth center that is vibrant and working in the South Bronx, Harlem. And then I lived for a year in our friary in New Mexico, where we had a pretty massive operation of a soup kitchen. We fed about 350 people once a week, and it was just such a privilege. And I have found that working with the poor has been one of the greatest blessings of my life. You know, there's a way in which the poor keep you honest, and the poor can tell if you're full of malarkey or not. And it's just been such a privilege for me to walk with men and women who, many of whom, if I had suffered what they went through in their past, I would probably not still be alive. You know, they share their stories. And I think it's so important to contextualize the human person within the sort of ecology, as we would call it in psychology, the ecology in which they developed and grew. And so, you know, I came from a suburban family in Connecticut. My hometown was a little bit on the rougher side, but I lived in a nice neighborhood. And I know that for a long time, I was actually terrified of the poor. It was a bit of an obstacle I had to overcome in college doing mission work and realizing that Jesus's promise of presence in the poor, when he says, whatever you did to the least of my brothers, you did to me. The Lord was so kind in leading me to encounter that presence of Christ in the poor. And there really is a congruency, I think, between the message of Fatima and the message of St. Francis. St. Francis started the Franciscan order, and they were called the Penitents from Assisi. And in that era of the church, it wasn't like confession we have now. You would go to confession, and you would be put in what was called an order of penance, and you would sit outside the church doing penance until you had sort of fulfilled your penance, and then you could receive communion again. And absolution. Thanks be to God, we don't have that still going on. We have a much easier job of receiving God's mercy. But Francis turned that idea of doing penance into a way of life. And so Francis fasted throughout the year, really, with the exception of a few days. He prayed, and he led his brothers to really embody and to preach penance to other people, to preach conversion. And so Our Lady of Fatima, her message of doing penance for the sake of sinners, that's right at the heart of what Francis talks about. And the posture, I think it's such a beautiful thing. The posture of the Franciscan order has always been to be friars minor, lesser brothers. It's sort of like Theresian spirituality before Therese. Francis wanted to be very little. And the idea of poverty that he espoused was so that he could be completely free to receive everything from God. And I feel like with Our Lady of Fatima, you know, she calls us her dear children. And she invites her dear children to penance and to pray for our brothers and sisters who have no one to pray for them. And so we can adopt sort of a lifestyle where we are in a posture of self-donation and in a posture of thinking about those who have no one to pray for them. Instead of lamenting the crazy stuff we hear on the news, well, maybe we should lament it. Lament is a form of prayer, and it's a worthy form of prayer. We have plenty of lament psalms you can grab onto. But on top of that, and maybe even more than that, more than the criticisms we can levy against all sorts of people, let's instead aim our efforts at doing penance for the sake of souls. Because there's a very short time. And, you know, Jacinta and Francisco, beautiful little saints, it's like all of a sudden, it sort of reminds me of the nitrous oxide boosters in some race cars, right? Like, once Our Lady appeared, it was as though the nitrous oxide boosters kicked in and they were ready to go. And they were doing everything they could to make everything a sacrifice. And I think that invitation stands for us as well.
Yeah, that's a very, very good analogy. And that's exactly it. Praying for people who need, you know, physically and spiritually need us. You know, after the July apparition, Our Lady showed the vision of hell. She said, "You've seen hell where the souls of poor sinners go." You know, I mean, it was terrifying for them. It was terrifying for them, certainly physically, to see it, but it was even more terrifying for them to realize that this was an eternal punishment. Okay, and Jacinta, young Jacinta, would say, you know, why would anybody want to go there? Because anybody who had gone there had chosen to be there, okay? You know, chosen to be separated from God. And I think that, you know, what he's, are you willing to offer your lives in prayer and reparation to gain the grace and the merit so people will avoid it? People are there, she said, because there's no one to pray and make reparation for them. And that's really what I think. And really, when, you know, when you're ministering to people physically, as the friars, as you do, you're also spirit. You're setting an example, okay? You know, and people will come to the faith, and that's the ultimate goal. Is you don't want to heal their bodies and then let their souls rot. We know that, but you cannot give what you do not have, and you have it, and you show it, and they see it, and they'll want it.
Yeah, exactly. I think two things come to mind. First of all, Mother Teresa used to say, you know, no one's going to listen to you about their spiritual life when they're starving. You know, like, on some level, the material need needs to be met. Yeah. But we always have a focus. And this is why many of our apostolates are very kind of intimate and small. Our first homeless shelter housed 18 men a night, but it was among the homeless considered to be the Hilton of the homeless, like the best place you could come in the city. Because what we try to do is more than just minister to the needs of the body. We establish a relationship. And it's only really on the basis of a relationship that we have grounds to then invite them to what has changed us. Because hopefully they see that we're changed. You know, Our Lady didn't bring the visionaries to hell on a tourist stop, right? It was a motivating factor. And it motivates me to hear about it again, and to keep revisiting it and to say, hey, people are in trouble. You know, if I knew that someone was inside a burning building and I could get in and out safely to get them out, woe to me if I don't do it. And I think that we have such a beautiful opportunity. And I think, again, seeing the person as a whole, if they have material needs that we can help meet, let's do it. But always with a view, and not in a way, again, not a cudgel, but in a way that is an invitation to the good things that we have.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, again, you know, no wealth is valuable if it's not shared properly. And that means, and that's material as well as spiritual wealth. I mean, if you have something, it's not for you, it's for you to share. Mm-hmm. And that's where we have to, as Catholics for one, as people who really have been gifted, let's be realistic, we are very, very honored. We are very, I mean, you know, we're wealthy in the truest sense of wealth, you know, whether we have, you know, whether we're physically, you know, spiritually, I mean, whether we have any material wealth or not, we are extremely wealthy to know this. But boy, with knowledge goes responsibility.
Exactly.
And we know what it takes. We know what people need. And I say this all the time, if we don't stand up and if we're not willing, you know, to use our material wealth as well as our spiritual wealth and our knowledge, you know, to set good example for people, you know, you think sometimes you do things, and I'm especially in my younger days, many of us are this way. Oh, well, it's cavalier. Sometimes you make a comment, but does that influence somebody wrongly? you know, yeah. Not just children, but I mean, when your friends and others say, well, you know, look at him, he said that, and he's supposed to be, you know, holy and this and that. Well, no, I mean, the reality is we have to be on our guard in every way to stand up and be a beacon. If we're going to reflect God and Our Lady, well, then we better be pretty careful in how we present ourselves, mm-hmm. and make people want to be like us. Anyway, we have to take one more break here, brother, and when we come back, I want to follow up on that, what we're doing in the apostolate together with the friars, and just a little more before we close out. David Carollo is sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and an 88.5 FM WSFI.
Can you help St. Stanislaus Kostka Church? The church was constructed over 150 years ago, and despite its age, has maintained its sacred and timeless beauty. There is a realization that our shared spaces need to be upgraded with items such as a wheelchair lift for the lower church, new men and women's bathrooms, and the creation of space for meetings and hospitality, as well as more accessible wheelchair access. Visit ststandschurch.org, ststandschurch.org, for complete details on the renovation and what you can do to help.
I'm David Carollo, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony, and I'm here with Brother Pius Gagne of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. And I served as the executive director for the apostolate for 10 years now, a little over 10 years. And in that time, one of the biggest struggles we've had is keeping, a chaplaincy, because, priests come and go. I mean, there's a lot of things that, and we've had some wonderful priests that have come in and out. And I've always had this great relationship with the CFRs. Father Andrew Apostoli was a very dear personal friend, and I miss him dearly. He's been dead now 5 years, or I say dead. He just hasn't been with us for 5 years. He's watching over everything.
But, amen. Amen.
But Father Andrew and I talk. We spoke often about, the possibilities of something here, and it just worked out very well here. In this last current months, 6 months or so now that you've been here. And it's great because the mission of the Franciscan Friars and the mission of the World Apostle of Fatima, the Blue Army, there's tremendous symmetry there. And I know that the shrine has always been a destination for the CFRs, back with Father Apostoli and then Father Groeschel before him. They had a great, I think most every priest or brother in the order has been here on retreat prior to.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And, this place is very dear to us. And I think I had the privilege of living with Father Andrew for a few years. And his love for Our Lady, his love for Fatima, really was contagious. It is his book on Fatima that really, Fatima for Today, that really inspired my father to take on the Five for Saturdays and start praying the rosary. So I am eminently grateful. He gave that book to my family as a gift for my final vows, and the gift was much greater than I ever could have expected,
Yeah. Father Andrew's books are all available. We carry, we even published his last books, and here at BlueArmy.com or ShopFatima.com, all those books are available, his work. But Father Andrew was always a friend, and I would speak to him sometime, and I remember, Dave, how are things going? I said, well, I start squawking, complaining, about this and that. And I loved his line. He always said, Dave, the devil doesn't shoot at decoys. That was his famous line, you know. And he was right. I mean, you know, if you're doing good work, you're going to get attacked left and right. So if you're getting bumps and bruises and you're getting hit hard, you're on the right track. That's what I always like to say.
I'm sure
that's how he and the members of the order did help direct, you know, all of you in formation. You know, because you know you make a big commitment. I mean, you're making I'm committed to an apostolate as a layman who has a wife and all. I mean, I guess the two lives, you know. But you know, when you join religious life, you have given everything for it, and I think that's so important. And I don't know if people today, in their commitments, not just in religious life but even in marriage and such, do they realize that they're giving a full commitment?
Right. I think it's a big. Yeah, it's a big challenge, I think, for today, especially young people of today. I mentioned fear of missing out before, and I think that a lot of people in a sort of a search for, they let the perfect get in the way of the good. I've heard it said, you know, I remember in my early days of discernment, tossing and turning at night, begging God to show me, you know, what to do, which is probably pretty normal for people. But I think that there comes a time when God has made it clear enough and when we have to step out in faith. And, you know, I feel inspired to sort of say, you know, if God is asking you to step out in faith, obviously within the realm of your capacity to give and within the realm of obviously nothing sinful, right, to be generous with yourself. Time is really the only commodity that is ticking away that we can give or not. And I think that, you know, Our Lady's message to pray and do penance, because time is short, she wants her heart to triumph as soon as possible. And we really, like David said at the beginning of the broadcast, this is the missing piece of why things seem not to be changing and possibly getting worse, is that we are not investing ourselves in the message of Fatima. Are we praying the rosary every day? Are we doing the five first Saturday devotions? Are we really and sincerely praying and doing penance for sinners to offer? And I'm not talking about extraordinary things like go to hairshirt.com. I don't even know if that exists, you know, or, you know, all these sort of insane penances. The beautiful thing I think about the church in the modern world is that we are given so many little opportunities to offer sacrifice, and they go unused. It's wasted suffering, you know. Sitting in traffic, great opportunity to pray. You know, it's a good meditation on purgatory. We're in traffic waiting to get to our destination. You know, the reality of the little pinpricks of daily life. I know I just came back from my home visit. My sister has 5 children ranging in ages from 8 to 4 months. And there are certainly a lot of penances that come with changing dirty diapers and temper tantrums and all the things that come with being a mom or a dad. And, you know, your commitment doesn't need to be religious life. You know, there's a way in which our lives, right here and now, without waiting for something in the distant future, can be transformative. We can transform the world through our prayer and our sacrifice. And I remember early on in my religious life, I went to seminary. I thought I was going to be a priest, and some physical illnesses really got in the way of my ability to finish seminary. And, you know, I really struggled with it for a while. It was hard because there was this sort of like destination in my mind that once I get there, everything will be smooth sailing. And I think all of us kind of have that attitude. If I just get this, then I'll be able to do whatever, right? But that sort of hesitancy, the tentativeness, gets in the way of the present moment, which is really the only place where God is. God is only in the present moment, and it is the present moment that we have as a gift to offer back. We don't need to wait for something in the future. Our daily life gives us plenty.
Well, you know, Fatima, you know, informs us or directs us to live our daily duty. And our daily duty is different, but this idea always that we are going to, okay, God, I have decided to do this, now I want you to bless it, as opposed to, what is it you want me to do? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. What wilt thou have me do? And, you know, we have to take that position, no matter what we're doing, whether we're in religious life or secular life, I'm running an apostolate. It's a spiritual thing, but I have to run it with the secular eye because, mm-hmm. Employees, we have, many bills, I'll tell you that. but the reality is, we everything has to be done. And, you have to have faith. I mean, God will provide. But, yes, we make plans and we need to, we should. I mean, he gives us that intellect to think things out and to direct things and plan things. But, I always say, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, just make plans, because mm-hmm. he will knock you over with them sometimes. And just to say that I'm in charge, and I'm not going to let this go through for you, but because I have something better for you over mm-hmm. here. And that's, I think, where we, not only in religious life, but as Catholics, as Christians, as people, we have to take that position more so.
I agree. And I think there's a big difference as well between being in the position, the Samuel position, right, where we're hearing God and we're not sure what his voice is saying, right? But then there's also sort of the paralysis of waiting for this miraculous sign to come out of the sky, right? Like, Saint Therese, give me golden roses gilded from, we have all these sort of like parameters we make for the Lord. And I think that there's a middle ground. Saint Maximian Kolbe used to say, pray, ask God for signs, and when you don't get one and you have to move, right? And this is also Ignatius of Loyola's sort of posture, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, right? It's like, okay, if I really have to make a decision right now, I'm not getting clear words from the Lord. Well, he blessed us with an intellect and a will. So as long as we're praying and as long as we're in a position of detachment, and I think detachment is probably a topic for a whole nother radio show, but detachment is so important. To be able to have God have the sort of like red button to explode our plans if he wants to, while at the same time doing our best to move forward in faith and in trust. Like, there's a balance, right? Like, we don't want to be so needy for a sign that we don't move, but at the same time, we don't want to be so sort of type A that it's my way or the highway, Jesus. It's a little of both, and I think balancing that is really key. Yeah.
Well, and intellect. I mean, he gives us an intellect. He gives us the ability to be on this radio show today, to talk and hopefully keep people engaged. I mean, those are gifts, and it can't be false humility to say, well, I don't want anybody to think I'm doing well. But no, I want to do the best I can, mm-hmm. just like you want to do the best you can. Because if I can get people to understand something that I have been gifted to know, and truly gifted to know, I will mm-hmm. say that, then I have an obligation to use a talent that's given to me. So I think that's where it comes in. God doesn't maybe tell us exactly how to do everything, but he gives us the ability to do certain things, and then he wants us to think it out and do it. And he will direct us if we're going in the wrong direction. I mean, it's really, really very true. Mm-hmm. The spiritual life and your temporal life cannot be two separate things.
Right, exactly.
They have to work together. And I know that, in religious life, you learn that a lot more. And I think that's why I really do love the work of the Franciscan friars. Again, I've become very close to you all in these years, mm-hmm. primarily through my friendship with Father Andrew, I have to say, and so many of you as a result of that. But I think that it's to understand that there is there's strength in simplicity. That's what St. Francis always wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. Anyway, time goes fast when we're on these shows. Thank you, Brother Pius, for being here today.
My pleasure.
We are at BlueArmy.com. We'll give you all of the resources to join in on our website, our work. And the Franciscan friars, remember all of us in your prayers. God bless you all.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter. the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed.